Right, and here we are with Rust Hulks, The Rugged Edge, and Outro. We are in August 2020. I'm Peter, and to my internet we have...
Tyler.
Mark.
RD.
So, we wrapped our game of The Rust Hulks, and now we'll be talking about the things we liked about the system, things we felt could use some improvement, and generally how we felt about it. So, who'd like to start?
I enjoyed the concept of it. I thought that that was pretty cool. I feel like mechanically it didn't really live up to its potential. There were things in the game that kind of seemed to start off as good ideas, but didn't really take root, like drawing the ship and having rooms on the ship and like expanding the size and having rooms have actions. I never really gelled or materialized into anything actually concrete for the game. And I also felt like as the game master, it was weird. There weren't a lot of guidelines about when I should be using my moves, or how much people should be paid for a job, or what a span should be. And as a result, like I would just kind of throw out my moves whenever, but since they're often negative things, it would come across as just sort of like sticking it to the players for no real reason. And I also found that mechanically a lot of it was very samey. I got really bored with it really fast, where basically all you're doing is you're getting a job, then you're flying a span and coming across Hulks and then getting paid, and then you do it again.
Well, probably part of it was because we avoided combat like pretty much entirely. And
we're like trying to talk to people and stuff.
Yeah, so like we didn't engage with our guns and armory and, you know, doing hard things. You know, having some ship combat that probably would make things more lively, I guess.
But yeah, but I mean, like, I understand that combat is a big part of most systems. But I'm not a huge fan of systems where, like, if you avoid combat, then the game sucks.
I mean, it's especially egregious when you have characters like me. You have a character like, I'm playing a greaser. My thing is that I boost engines and I repair stuff. Your thing is a pilot, and then we have another thing who is junking hulls. But our characters are functionally really not very good. Like, those things have basically, like, short interactive roles that do one – that you do, like, once in a blue moon. And they're important roles, but, like, you do them. There's no story to them, really, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so probably it's what you'd want to have, I know, maybe sort of crew on a ship that could do those things. Like, oh, we have a junker on our ship, and they can do scraping a hulk, which seems to be, like, you know – one role and you're sort of down, like, weren't sure how big those things were supposed to be. It's like, you find a ship, you get some fuel out of it, and you're down.
I want to sort of get the big thing for me is, I think what they're, the primary core problem with Rust Hulks, in my opinion, is that they're trying to simulate Firefly and you know, other kind of space thing shows. And those are never about... Like, you're going to ask, you know, do you get paid? You never get paid. There's two things we know. The Firefly is never going to run out of money. It's never going to just blow up in space. It's never going to just, you know, oh, sorry, we're going to have to go bankrupt. That will never happen on the show, and it will never happen in the book. And the other thing that's not going to happen is the crew of the Firefly aren't going to get super rich, and they're going to, like, retire to a space planet. And Rust Hulk kind of frames the whole struggle as being about keeping enough money to keep running, when that's not really it. That's just the narrative framing. And you don't, like, it seems that most of the systems are designed towards that when it's not. Like, the first story they get into, the train heist, is them confronting their morals in the face of dealing with not getting, you know, like, being hunted down. It's about characters like with defined personality traits clashing with each other and an ensemble cast. So, but they don't build that into the game. Like, they have the narrative, the chains, but you don't spend time like building a history or anything like that.
No. And one thing that I noticed regarding character in the chains in particular was like, yeah, it's a great idea, but like, it tells you, oh, you tighten your chains. Then you have to kind of have to come up with something, and it doesn't.
It feels always, so artificial sometimes.
It feels artificial on like why you're like, oh, now I have to make character development. Whereas instead of character development makes my character, I have to make character development for my character. And you have to kind of like, even if you've got a great character, they may not really flourish very well in this system, in my opinion, because you're going to have to just keep coming up with things that it feels forced and it doesn't feel like you're actually really getting to know your character really in a lot of ways, which is how I personally play, is I like to get to know them by playing them.
I would say that with the chains, that might be an interesting idea, but like when we played in our second session where we're like, hey, let's fly 3-4 spans in a session and let's pick, okay, you tighten the chain, you make it more slack and so on. So in a span of like 20 minutes of rolling, it goes back and forth and so on. So it can really establish a baseline of what's going on. Just things keep changing so fast that...
You damn Belter, I don't like you anymore. Hey, Belter, let's go have a drink after this is done.
I wonder if we were able to like choose, like, we're just going to fly all 3 spans or something, like, cause it like doing it on and on. And there's only a couple things to choose from. And yeah, it does feel repetitive because you're like, oh, you can choose.
There's exactly one random encounter at all times.
Yeah. You're going to choose. And then like, I feel bad for Tyler. He's like, I have to somehow make this unique, even though we've done it 3 times today, you know?
But yeah, like, this
was really running out of Hulks.
Yeah, like how many fucking kinds of Hulks are there?
But like, this is the other thing too. Like in an actual science fiction thing, you would go to a Hulk and you wouldn't just be like, they pick up something and walk off. Like that might happen once, but it would never be talked about. What would happen is there would be an episode about them going to another Hulk, and it would turn out that aliens are aboard, or it would turn out that androids were aboard, or it would turn out that Reavers were aboard. Or
like you're not like equipped for that, and like you're not able to you can do one or the other. It's like, I don't know.
It's designed to be like a really simple one-off transaction where you either gain or lose money, and that's
Was that part of the Firefly? Wasn't that the start where like, oh, we're scraping something for a Hulk, and then oh no, the authority comes over. Okay, let's ditch it and intro.
I mean, yeah, that's literally how it started. But like that's not the like. The missions and stuff like that were like they spent time and went into depths into that. Like they'd be out in space and they'd have to deal with a bounty hunter named Jubal Early. And that was the whole episode. He was jumping on the board and there was a big, like the characters were having a big, you know, like it was a big deal.
Yeah. Probably like the jobs or everything could use more like structure to it. Like, oh, let's go scrape a Hulk as a job. And that would be like something you do for 2 hours where it's like a big thing where you have to go around, deal with stuff on this Hulk.
Yeah.
And so on. So
that was the first episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, more of that maybe would be more interesting.
I don't know. I think there's just like an inherent flaw somewhere in how this lets me play a character. Because I really liked my character. It was not that I did not like my character. I was vibing with her, but then I felt like she had nothing to do that was like there was no clear idea of like opportunities to build her character or character building moments or ways to explore character building moments that didn't feel forced.
It was really not a good sign that I would have rather have played this with Star Wars, like any of the new Star Wars systems.
Yeah. I think Fellowship was the wrong fit for, well, not Fellowship, I guess, because it's not based on Fellowship. It's based on Apocalypse. But I think Powered by the Apocalypse was maybe not the right choice for this game. Especially like it's really frustrating, like the analyze something. Right. Where like, again, because this is Powered by the Apocalypse and you're rolling 2d6 and basically always adding a +3, because why wouldn't you have the person with the best stat do it? You're always getting a 10+, And so you come across a mysterious space station where something is going wrong.
What's wrong?
And you go, okay, what's wrong? What's unusual?
I really think that if you ever run this game again, for those skills, we have to say like, well, you use that on like, limit it to say like, use that on the door or use that on the thing to get in. You don't use that on the ship. Because then it's a little more less bullshit. One way or the other.
Yeah, but I mean, then it almost becomes useless because it's like, what's unusual about the door? And either you have to come up with something unusual about the door or you say nothing. And then you end up saying nothing a lot and having a skill where you're rolling it. And I mean, it's like, it becomes like a stupid D&D trope where you're like, okay, I move 5 feet. I search for traps. I don't find anything. I move 5 feet. I search for traps. Do I find anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of doors, that, you know, the fact that the first door stomped out because, okay, what move do we do to get through this door? There isn't anything to get to an obstacle.
It's like, well, we can
trap the system.
I was like, it's like, well, we can hold it. We can move with urgency, but we're not really under any kind of urgency. There's no like hacking skill.
Yeah, hacked the door. Was it AC?
Healing confused us as well. That wasn't very well fleshed out. The rewards for getting a job should be outlined. Like they should give you a baseline idea of what an average job is.
I swear that's in there somewhere. Like, and that there's an actual chart for it based on, and the chart is based on it doesn't matter on how you get the job. So like the guy we hired to move him and he was going to pay us should have paid us. I think it's something like 2 credits times the number of, points we spend on bunks. I swear it's something like that. It's like it's just like, and you do cargo the same way. So if like if someone hires you to carry the diamond, the Klotman diamond, then you get paid based on what your cargo hold is.
Well, that should be on like the Master of Ceremony handout sheet for sure then.
Well, it's not on the sheet, it's in the book somewhere.
Yeah, it's not in useful tables.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of indexing would have been and help in running this would have been
one
a bit
thing
more.
That I really got excited about initially was like all the different like characters seemed really easy to build. And that was something that I really was excited about. Because like sometimes starting out a character can be a little bit daunting, especially if you're like me and you're newer to other systems, which is I am newer to a lot of like systems that are not the conventional D&D. And so like being able to like stat out my character really easy, really quick seemed appealing, but at the end of the day it didn't feel like there was a lot that I could do once I did that though.
I mean, that's mostly like a Powered by the Apocalypse thing where like you can make a character in 2 minutes.
See, so, I don't know that. So I'm just coming at this from someone who like literally has played maybe one other variation of like a tabletop role-playing game. So
I gotta say, I hope you have a chance to play Fellowship. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, well, that's up to y'all because none of my other friends play this stuff. They're like, what's that? Do I get to roll a D20?
Only in Lancer.
Yeah.
I think like as Tyler mentioned, like us trying to track credits and fuel and so on, like missing the point of what the game's trying to be, or at least like the fiction behind it. So like this reminds me of like iHunt. That's a game about getting a job and, you know, going killing monsters for, you know, money because you're, you know, an Uber driver, but for the monster economy. But that game doesn't track money because you'll always be in debt. You'll always like, you know, get paid, but you always have to screw you over. You'll never get out of debt, but it doesn't track it. So you're not getting worse in debt. Nothing changes.
See, I think he copied that from The Sprawl, and I think he credits that in there. But the problem is it makes sense. The goal of everyone in The Sprawl is to get enough money to either buy the next upgrade or to retire and like go up in the colony and be one of the 1%. Like that is a goal that makes sense for most characters, if not, you know, some characters in Cyberpunk. That will never happen. Han Solo is not going to like become Jabba the Hutt. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, he did try ditching them after getting paid once. So,
yeah, it doesn't hold up, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I guess one of the things they wanted to do was to put you on a crunch, like, oh, you get a job, you spend your credits to get there, get back, then you don't get paid, and then you're on a tightrope, and you know, things are more desperate. So that could be interesting.
But like that, yeah, but how do I do that? Because it's all entirely dependent on your roles, and again, you're always going to crush your roles.
Yeah. Like, I didn't feel like there was very much struggle. I was also rolling very well today and last time too, but at the same time, it's really not that hard to roll well.
One thing for sure I would have done is, if I was ever running by some like weird fate, twist of fate, running this game again, or someone else was, I would definitely try and throw in multiple things going off at once on the ship that had to be dealt with that were not the character's leads.
Like, yeah, I was thinking about that, and like it says in the book to just start breaking stuff to like create a sense of urgency. And I don't know, that just kind of like, it didn't sit well with me. Like, I didn't want to just like suddenly be like, okay, you guys are flying and now your life support is failing and there's an authority ship outside. And also your engines crap out.
That could be an interesting that could be an interesting consequence for like, oh, you fly a span, something goes wrong, you know. Like even on a 10 plus, something goes wrong because you're flying a junker. Good thing, Mark.
Yeah.
Or just like another one too would have been just like some kind of track like they do in Sprawl, that like for either completing the mission successfully, this track goes too high, the ship is damaged and you're going to have to repair and you're probably going to fail the job because you're not going to get there in time. If this track goes to 10, the authorities is out with you in massive manhunts and it's going to be a big mess. And just kind of, you know, like throw stuff out that way.
Yeah. But I mean, also most of the sort of threats you'd be facing, like, here's a goon and he has, you know, this pistol, and this is a guy that has a combat rifle, and like, you know, this is the Power by the Apocalypse problem where, you know, you distinguish between enemies based on how much damage they can do to you and so on. Which also, you know, us and our fellowship, you know, bias here.
Like, it would have been great if the time you took to do a job mattered. Right? Like if you had a track or something for that, like Mark said, I think that would be great. And also like some of the consequences just aren't relevant. Like you guys had a bad reputation, but it doesn't matter. You had a reputation for, you know, like either not doing jobs or taking too long to do them because you guys.
Well, it's like, what are we going to do? Options. Not have jobs? But, like, that's not like, going to work. Yeah.
And like, it doesn't matter if your reputation is shit because there's no mechanic for it in the game. You're still rolling to get a job and it's depending on your captain's face, and you're still rolling to get paid and it's depending on your captain's gut. So you could be known from Pluto to Mercury as the absolute like worst people in the business. And as long as you're still crushing roles, who cares? So that, like, why would you not always pick that option where people are going to know about this job, because it literally has zero effect on the game?
Well, I mean, yeah, they kind of expect, I think, one of our enemies to come in. But like, we didn't really have like that's another thing too. Like, you know, in those universes, you know, you build up bad guys. You have characters like Nishka or the guys with the blue masks or the operative, and they become regular foils.
Well, you were going to have the mafia after you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised. Or the authority.
I was expecting that, and the authority.
And the authority as well.
They're always supposed to be the heel of the boot. But it's so dry when you consider it next to the world building potential of games like Sprawl, where you got to make that stuff. Like, yeah. I was really kind of like, we didn't play it very much and I don't feel it really gelled with our group, but the session where like the corp you came up with for that was great. I immediately knew exactly what they looked like and I could see a whole like like show basically like about these crazy like Mary Kay women playing like 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton as they drive from like farm to farm that they own like 30% of out of debt, selling like scads of like corporate crap in their armored RVs. I don't know if you remember that much, but Aurora Tech, the one you came up with the, and like that was a real personality thing that you created and got to add in. And the authority just sort of feels like they've left it blank, but you know, the players aren't helping create the game either. And that's, I think, one of the best things that Powered by the Apocalypse does best.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have anything else to mention, or is this?
I'm not very good of a voice on the technical side of things. So,
well, it's like it's just in Powered by the Apocalypse, you command lore, you make up stuff about your race, your family, the planet you're from. The big bad sometimes, and everyone has different area. Every player, to make that clear, has certain responsibilities of things they come up with. And in Sprawl, you make the big evil megacorps. So, like, there's nothing like that in this game. Or, like, there doesn't seem to be anyway.
Yeah, in general, it seems to be feeling like the first generation Powered by the Apocalypse, all in all, which is a bit underwhelming, unfortunately.
Which is weird because it takes its inspiration from the Sprawl.
Yeah, I mean, Sprawl. Yeah, I guess, you know, it'll be somewhere out there.
But so, nice try, though. It's a great looking book. It had to be super excited to play. Yeah. I can't think of a better concept.
I was really stoked, I won't lie. And I still would like to bring my character into some other situations. I do like the character that I was playing.
I mean, there's nothing saying you can't, you know.
Yeah.
Copy your character, personality, make something new, and so on and so on.
We'll play Lancer.
We'll figure out what we'll play next. Okay. If that's it, then I guess we can sign off.
Right. Okay.
So, I was Peter.
Tyler.
Mark.
Ardy.
And this is Possibly Nobody signing off.